Okay, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and your titles before we get started here?
So my name is Megan Hoyer. I am Family Health Program Manager with Beltrami County.
And I am Chris Muller. I am the Emergency Management Director for Beltrami County.
All right, great. So today, what's the situation, the COVID situation looking like here in Beltrami County?
We are currently seeing an uptick in positive cases over the last week or so, just shortly before the 4th of July weekend. So we're getting a few new cases every day.
Okay. So I'm not really interested in like identifying specific places, but it's safe to say some of these folks, if not all of them, were out and about in our community.
Yeah, with a lot of the work that Megan and Cynthia and our public health division has done with the case investigations, actually pretty quickly identified that first cluster that has already been reported on, both with your news outlet and others, is they were able to kind of identify that they kind of gave it to each other in trying to track down where kind of patient zero was. And as more cases are identified, that gets a little bit more complicated. But that one, and it's kind of been referred to as a social group, and we kind of call it a cluster, is that cluster did have some. They visited many businesses around the Bemidji area during their infectious period. And when we say infectious period, we don't want that to take on a negative connotation that they deliberately went out and tried to spread this through the community, because that's not the case. Once one party in that group identified that they had some of the COVID symptoms, they went in and got tested and followed appropriate precautions at that time, reached out to those other close friends, and they did the right thing, and they stayed home, and they continue to do so.
All right, so moving forward, what are some things that folks in Beltrami County can do to prevent the spread or prevent themselves from getting COVID-19?
Sure, that's a great question. And really, there's a few basic things that we are encouraging all people to do, and I know that we've heard them kind of time and time again. But now that we're seeing more community cases, we certainly want to reemphasize those. One of them is really trying to stay home when possible. When out and about, we are encouraging the use of face coverings or masks, hand hygiene, and then to still maintain that physical distance of 6 feet or more when possible.
Now, I've noticed that there has been some significant resistance to wearing masks. Can you kind of briefly explain the benefit of the mask and what it's supposed to do?
Sure. And when when the first kind of encouragement to wear masks came out, there wasn't a whole lot of data behind it or a whole lot of evidence. And more recently, we're seeing much more supporting evidence, more studies that have been done that help show that face coverings or masks help to slow the transmission. There are several recent studies, one that looked at 15 states, and they saw a significant decrease in their COVID cases once they mandated the use of face coverings. We're seeing a lower death rate amongst states that have face coverings as a requirement. So really what it's doing is it's just preventing the spread of the droplets, thereby limiting the spread of the virus itself.
So it's not really to prevent you from catching droplets, it's to keep your droplets to yourself.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
And we learned that relatively early on in the COVID-19 pandemic, as it started becoming more applicable to Minnesota, and especially greater Minnesota. And we have Dr. Ralph Morris has been assisting our COVID team, as well as many other partners. But one thing that Ralph said kind of stuck out, and he says, "I wear my mask to protect you." And I think that that's a really responsible way of looking at it. And if anybody is symptomatic, whether it's with the COVID symptoms or others, is we just really want to encourage people to stay home and call their primary care or call Sanford or any of the other medical providers to see if they are a candidate for testing based on their symptoms.
All right. So that's the best bet if you think you might have been exposed to COVID. But, like, what if people who might just be anxious because they've heard rumors on the street that someone with COVID was at place X and they were also at place X? I mean, what are the, is it symptomatic people that get tested, or is it the people who may have been exposed, or?
Currently, the testing requirements include either symptoms of COVID or a known significant exposure. And by significant, they're really looking at the time and the distance. So we're looking at within 6 feet for longer than 15 minutes as a significant exposure. Additionally, they don't often test right away after that exposure happens. They like a little bit of time to pass before they'll do that test.
All right. So,
if they do become infected.
Okay. I understand, like, it might take a couple days for the virus to incubate, at least as far as I understand. But is there anything else locally COVID-related that you guys wanted to be sure to get out there?
I guess one of the things kind of to drive home is we're realistically 4 months into the heavy response to COVID-19. Early on, when the executive orders were coming out and we saw a lot of the businesses get closed and schools closed, people really, really took it seriously. And you saw that people staying home, and you saw people wearing their face coverings and altering their behavior. Over the last couple of months, as we've kind of gotten a handle on it in Minnesota, we've seen the hospitalizations go down. We've seen the ICU occupancy going down. But one thing that we're starting to see is that less people are masking, and I'm talking pre-4th of July, is less people masking and people having larger and more frequent gatherings. As more and more things are opened up, we'd like to see them stay open. But the approach that Minnesota has taken was kind of a across the entire state approach, and that may not have timed up perfectly with the rest of the state, as we're not really seeing our acceleration having taken place until within the last week. So we just need people to be reminded that just because statewide the numbers were looking good, we're starting to see our cases increase here. And if you look at the age of those that are being infected, is this is no longer what some people perceived as an old person's disease, or only the elderly are affected by this. If you look at the 20 to 29 cohort of 20 to 29 year olds, is they make up the largest number of positive cases in Minnesota right now. So this is gradually affecting younger people more and more.
And to piggyback on that, one of our concerns with the younger population being our highest number of cases right now is we're also seeing a couple weeks later that there's a spike in the elders that they are in contact with. Their parents, their grandparents, their loved ones are ending up being infected and then potentially needing the hospitalizations because the disease has affected them differently. And so that's really what we're trying to help mitigate here in Bemidji.
Has it been a lot of folks in their 20s and 30s, or has it been kind of all over the board here?
No, our numbers are fairly consistent with what we're seeing across the state, that we're seeing that 20 to 29-year-old range have some of our highest numbers.
Okay, and for active cases, everyone's isolating at home, or are some people taking it a little worse than maybe needing hospitalizations?
We don't currently have any hospitalizations
in Beltrami County.
Yes.
Oh, that is good news.